From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thanks, everybody. We have got a terrific show for you today. Later on, actor, writer, and carpenter Nick Offerman will be coming by to play our game. Now, Nick is known best for playing Ron Swanson, the red meat-eating, no-nonsense man's man on the sitcom Parks and Recreation. He has become, oddly enough, America's favorite symbol of true masculinity.
Second favorite, Peter.
Fine point, Carl. We will be able to watch Carl and Nick Offerman lock antlers later. But first, it's your turn. Give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Who is this? Who is this?
Rick Lombardo.
Hey, Rick, where are you calling from?
Mainville, Ohio, just outside Cincinnati.
And what do you do there near Cincinnati?
I'm in application engineering for plastic welding, ultrasonic welding, vibration welding, things like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I actually know about this because I saw a display in a museum that you guys use sound waves to, like, weld plastic parts together.
You understand it better than I do, I think.
Really? Well, welcome to the show, Rick. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, a comedian, actor, and director most recently of the horror film Willow Creek, it's Bobcat Goldthwait is here. Next, a senior editor and columnist for the Houston Chronicle, it is Kiri O'Connor. She's here.
Hi, Rick.
And a humorist and author whose latest book, he keeps writing them, The Baby Boom, is out soon. It's P.J. O'Rourke.
Hi.
Rick, you, are, of course, are going to start us off with Who's Carl This Time. We have sifted through the news, found three quotes from the news. Carl will recreate them for you. Your job, explain or identify two of them. Do that, you'll win our prize. Ready to go?
Ready.
All right. Here is your first quote.
Yes, I have smoked crack. Am I an addict? No. Have I tried it? Probably in one of my drunken stupors.
That was a drunk crack smoker named Rob Ford, who this week admitted to the obvious. Mr. Ford, though, says he will not quit his job, which happens to be what?
It's mayor of Toronto?
Yes, indeed. The mayor of Canada's largest city. Okay.
And for the first time in my life, I want to go to Toronto.
That's interesting.
Obviously, there's a side to this place. We little knew.
All right, Toronto, your mayor has admitted to smoking crack, but he only does it when he's so drunk he doesn't know he's doing it. This is how bad it's gotten for Rob Ford. The fact that he is a blackout drunk is the good news.
Well, he's a recreational crack user. I think it's fascinating that he's implying that alcohol is the gateway to crack.
Well, you know, that's one thing that's important to remember. Crack is not a gateway drug. Because, like, after you do it for a while, you die.
Yeah. That's true.
So it's not like a gateway.
It's a gateway to hell.
Yeah, well, there's that.
But he's one of the lesser-known Zeppelin songs. I think it's so weird how many mayors end up smoking crack. I mean, I think I have some pretty nefarious friends. None of them are crack smokers.
Yeah, me too.
It's weird that, like, when I meet a politician now, I'm going to go, oh, is this going to be bad for me later on? Is this going to be...
Am I going to get on video?
I toured with Nirvana.
And they weren't smoking crack.
Nobody was smoking crack.
Well, the thing about the guy that's so amazing is he's so un-Canadian. I mean, Canada's where they still eat off of regular-sized plates.
This makes Rob Ford, by a huge measure, the most interesting Canadian ever. The list is like...
No.
Suck it, Alan Thicke. In your face, Thicke. He actually said that he thought he was smoking poutine.
Rick, here is your next quote. It was a headline about a big winner on election night this week.
Elephant in the room.
That was the not at all subtle headline and a big story in Time magazine about the big winner in this week's big elections. Who was it?
Chris Christie.
Yes, indeed, Chris Christie.
Governor Christie of New Jersey won a landslide re-election on Tuesday, making himself into the instant frontrunner for the Republican presidential nomination in 2016 and making political observers all over the country bend over backwards to avoid making fat jokes. It's really tricky because you can't say, like, he's the heavyweight in the race. No. He's got wide appeal. No. He's the big tent candidate. No. By the way, the fact that he is the GOP frontrunner was the first time anyone ever called him a runner.
I actually saw the editor of Time on TV. Someone said, this headline, the elephant in the room, is that like a fat joke? And she goes, no. No, why it's just an expression.
Christie says that it is his very New Jersey-ness, his can-do attitude, his rough compassion that makes him such a successful politician. If he goes all the way, he'll be the first New Jerseyan in the White House since Woodrow Bon Jovi. Are you a fan of Chris Christie's, PJ, being our authority?
I am a huge fan, Peter.
You see? I'm not kidding. It's hard.
There's just no getting around it either. No. It's it's just... anyway, my love for him is as high as it is wide. And,
Do you think he can handle the weight of the presidency?
I think he can. And if he can't, you know, he's got Rob Ford to look to, you know, as a model. Because the thing I love most about Rob Ford, and that all politicians could learn from him, is what a great excuse that is. I was drunk and smoking crack. I mean, Kathleen
Sebelius,
yeah, when she was testifying to Congress about the rollout of Obamacare, just, if she could have just said, yeah, I'm sorry, I was drunk and smoking crack.
All right, very good. Here's your last quote.
A floating data center? A wild party boat? A barge housing the last remaining dinosaur?
That was a big internet company saying itself what a giant barge it has built is not, but given their thirst for world domination, they're probably lying. What is the company?
Is it Google?
It is Google. What are now being called the Google barges are moored in the harbors in San Francisco and Portland, Maine, to these enormous platforms with four stories of shipping containers on them. Nobody knows what they were for. Intrepid investigators figured out they belonged to Google because they've been insulated with stacks of $100 bills. And people were like, what in the world are these things? Until this week when Google said, oh no, nothing alarming at all. They're just new centers where customers can, quote, interact with new technology, unquote. Like the way cows interact with a slaughterhouse. No, seriously, if these things are showrooms for, like, their next thing, why are they built on barges offshore where there are no regulations? And how come when you Google, what are the Google barges for, you are never seen again? And how come Google changed their motto from don't be evil to what does evil really mean anyway?
I feel like Google now is like turning into a Bond villain.
Yeah.
Like really they're building giant lasers off the coast.
And you know, and when they unleash whatever it is.
And it's in Portland or Seattle?
There's two of them in San Francisco Harbor and there's one in Portland, Maine.
Oh, okay.
And here's the irony. When the thing bursts open and the monstrous machine, the robot, whatever, is unleashed to destroy us all, the irony is going to be the secret was right there on Bing all along. And who knows? Right. Who knew? Carl, how did Rick do on our quiz?
Rick, you had three correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your voicemail or home answering machine.
Well done. Hey, thank you for playing.
Rick.
We want to remind everybody they can join us here most weeks at the Chase Bank Auditorium. For tickets and more information, go to WBEZ.org, or you can find a link at our website, waitwait.npr.org. You can also find information about our upcoming show in Memphis, Tennessee, our debut in Memphis, on December 19th. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Bobcat, this week we said goodbye to a treasured institution that to the very end required you rewind your tapes before you returned them. Who closed their last remaining stores this week?
I'm so happy about this.
Are you?
Well, I still have some Blockbuster fees.
Yes. You outlived them.
I crushed them, actually. Yeah. My loan Scott Baio collection. Not returning them. It's done it.
No, I mean...
I had all Charles in Charge on VHS under my bed.
But kids today probably don't believe that in the olden days you had to go to a store and rent a little box, which you took home, and left next to your TV for a week till you realized that it just cost you $20 to watch Grease 2.
Those were the days.
Yeah.
I'm taking this hit pretty hard because most of my movies opened at Blockbuster.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with P.J. O'Rourke, Kerry O'Connor, and Bobcat Goldthwait. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Right now it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Ann Morse from Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon, one of my favorite cities. What do you do there?
I am a grants manager for a nonprofit.
Oh, of course you are. It's yeah. Portland.
Can you see?
So it's called Adelante Mujeres.
That means let's go, ladies.
Yeah, move forward, women.
Yeah, move. Right.
And is that, and what is that organization? It's not just about people who are annoyed in line.
No.
Come on, move forward, ladies.
Well, Ann, it is very nice to have you with us. You are going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Ann's topic?
Back off, Miss Manners.
It's hard to remember what fork to use for your salad and whether you're supposed to bow or curtsy or simply kneel when greeting Carl Castle. But this week, we read about people going to some extreme lengths to be polite. Guess the real story of manners gone a little too far, and you'll win Carl's voice in your home answering machine or voicemail. You ready to play?
Yep.
All right, first up, let's hear from Bobcat Goldthwait.
Makers of Positive Vibes, an app that filters out all e-negative comments for its users, has run into marketing catch-22. Positive Vibes' goal is to keep modern man and woman looking on the sunny side of life in this overly negative world by removing unpleasant words and content from emails, social media, and news sources. This way, the user is only given positive and non-disturbing and non-offensive news. The app filters out a predetermined list of offensive words regarding bodily functions, sex, blue humor, anti-church, anti-American, and sick or injured animals. Things were looking rosy for the young startup company until its own billing emails to its customers were being deleted from their subscribers' accounts. Jerry Bishop, former hippie and CEO of Positive Vibes, was quoted, "It's a sad day on the internet when making a living is subject to censorship."
An app which saves you from bad news, also saves the user from the billing notice from the people who sold them the app. Your next story of someone minding their manners comes from Kerry O'Connor.
We all know the feeling of trying to cantilever an immense hamburger into our mouths and feeling the pang of regret that our jaws aren't hinged like a python's. But imagine you're a Japanese woman and you have to choose between your culturally instilled need to present an ochabo, small and modest, mouth, and your lust for a giant honking burger. Enter Freshness Burger, a Japanese chain oddly named like a feminine hygiene product. They have developed something called the Liberation Wrapper. It's a burger wrapper printed with the photographic image of a delicate, smiling, closed mouth. Not creepy at all. Tilt it up and voila, you can chomp away behind your disguise. As for the slurry of pickle and ketchup plopping into your lap, you're on your own.
The Liberation Wrapper from Freshness Burger in Japan, providing you a little mask of a smiling, clean face behind which you can chomp your burger. And your last story of excellent manners, maybe too excellent, comes from P.J. O'Rourke.
Well, there is an item in the diaries of Alice Roosevelt Longworth. Alice Roosevelt Longworth was the mischievous youngest daughter of President Teddy Roosevelt. Her diaries have just been published by the Princeton University Press. And when you read them, you can see why the Roosevelt family spent decades and decades trying to keep them from being published. And Alice tells a story about her dad trying too hard to be polite. It seems that after Teddy Roosevelt lost the 1912 presidential election, the Roosevelts were in England, and they were dining at a stately home in England with a lot of stately people, and Teddy Roosevelt was seated to the right of a very grand old duchess, and an English gentleman was seated on her left. And early on in the meal, the elderly duchess had an intestinal event, high decibel. And the gentleman on her left quickly and gallantly says, "Oh, I apologize for having done that." And later in the meal, it happens again. The Duchess has another intestinal event. And again, the gentleman on her left takes the blame and apologizes. And right at the end of the meal, there is the loudest of all the intestinal events. And the gentleman on the Duchess's left is just about to speak when Teddy Roosevelt jumps in and loudly says, "No, no, this one's on me." According to his daughter.
I understand. All right, then, here are your choices. From Bobcat Goldthwait, the story of an app that is so good at eliminating bad news from your phone that they can't bill for it. From Kiri O'Connor, a hamburger wrapper in Japan that modestly disguises your slavering mouth with a prim, clean one. Or from P.J. O'Rourke, a story about how Teddy Roosevelt himself tried to do the right thing at dinner in a stately home in England. Which of these is the real story we found in this week's news?
I'm going to have to go with the hamburger wrapper.
The hamburger wrapper. That would be Kiri's story with a hamburger wrapper. All right, well, to bring you the truth, we spoke to someone familiar with this story.
The mask looks like a piece of paper with half of a woman's face on it, and then hidden behind that are these women just chowing down on burgers.
That was Time Magazine contributor Melissa Locker talking about the hamburger mask at Freshness Burger in Japan. Congratulations. You got it right. Well done for you. You have earned a point for Kiri O'Connor, and you've won our prize. Carl Castle will record the greeting on your home answering machine. Okay. Well, thank you so much for playing, and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. And now the game where we bring on influential people and try to influence them in the wrong direction. It's called Not My Job. Nick Offerman was a serious theater actor when he was cast as meat-eating, scotch-drinking boss Ron Swanson in the hit sitcom Parks and Recreation, and now he is the nation's foremost symbol of pure manhood. Nick has a book out of manly advice called Paddle Your Own Canoe. We are delighted to have him with us. Nick Offerman, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. So I have been binging on Parks and Rec this week. It is hilariously funny. But if there are people who don't know who Ron Swanson is, can you describe him?
He's a man of few words. He's the director of the Department of Parks and Recreation in a small Indiana city called Pawnee. He likes breakfast food and dark-haired women, and he likes spending time by himself out of doors.
Right. But that only, I mean, that only scratches the surface of the wonder that is Ron Swanson. And he has become kind of a symbol to a lot of, very seriously, even though it's a very funny character, because he likes the old-fashioned values, raw meat, or meat, and manly sports, and he frowns at all these things like yoga and all these other modern conveniences. He's like a man's man.
Sure, he espouses the libertarian ideals and would prefer that everyone leave him alone. And a great source of humor is that he hates the government, and so as an employee of said government, he's trying to bring it down from within.
Right. I'm assuming, because it's such a hit and such a popular show, that people assume that you, Nick Offerman, are in fact Ron Swanson.
They often do, yes. They, which it works well at the airport because they are generally intimidated by me and keep their distance.
But part of the appeal of Ron Swanson, part of his signature, is his amazingly thick head of hair and his amazingly thick and luxurious mustache, which I am told is not a computer-generated effect, but is in fact your own hair.
That's correct. I come by it honest. I was brought up on a steady diet of Illinois sweet corn, and I think that and the pork products in the Tri-County area are to blame.
Right. So when you, so I mean, this isn't one of those things, like, oh, I'm not in makeup, no one will know who you are. When you stride through an airport, you are Ron Swanson.
It's hard to hide my particular lip broom.
Yeah. Now, well, you have things in common with Ron, as you just said. You grew up on a farm in northern Illinois, not far from where we are now in Chicago. And you did things like played in the football team and worked to the farm and fished and hunted and killed things to eat.
We call it growing up in the Midwest. I know how to use a hammer, and I make things out of wood.
Yeah, which I'm told you do to some great effect. You have your own workshop?
I do, yeah. We have a nice little operation, which you can look at offermanwoodshop.com, and we make commissioned furniture and canoes and lots of fun little gift items. We make a hell of a cribbage board.
Really?
That's right.
The most manly guy on television, you can order an actual piece of woodworking from him, and it's a cribbage board?
Are you saying something about cribbage?
Well, I hope that his cribbage board has things like spikes in it or something.
Is this high-stakes cribbage?
Yeah. Now, is it true that Ron Swanson became a woodworker when they found out that you were one?
He did, yeah. The writers were putting together the show and creating, rounding out the characters, and they came over to my wood shop and said, "You are a very intense nerd. We would like to milk that for humor, if that's fine with you." And I said, "You betcha."
So, do you ever make things for the show?
Well, TV goes a lot faster than actual woodworking, so Ron generally is much, much faster at woodworking than I am. I've made a couple things that have been used on the show, namely my canoe and my canoe paddles. But usually it would depend on the art department because I'm working on the show.
Right.
I don't have time to be making an Irish harp.
I understand how that is. Now, you've written this book, Paddle Your Own Canoe, which is a sort of advice from you, Nick, as opposed to from Rom. I've noticed, for example, that there are certain divergences from Ron's philosophy. Like you, for example, advocate the occasional eating of vegetables, which I think Ron would disagree with. So are there things that you do, Nick Offerman, that your character, Ron Swanson, would be ashamed of?
Well, sure. I mean, first of all, in my defense, I advocate the eating of vegetables to keep the machine running healthily so that it may consume red meat for more years than if you just ate steak all the time.
Right.
You clean the pipes out so you can have another bratwurst.
Yeah, I understand.
And Ron is a wonderfully written comedy character. He's a bit of a superhuman, and I'm a human being. So I cry, I stumble, I mince about a lot more than Ron does.
You mince?
Yeah, I mince dandily about the house.
Do you really?
Sure.
I mean, on point, do you mince?
You know, when I'm dusting or trying to find where I set down my needle point.
One of the very cool Ron-like things that we know you did was that you were the fight choreographer for a while at the Goodman Theater here in Chicago. So you were staging fights.
I was, yeah. I worked actually at Steppenwolf. I was a fight captain once at the Goodman, and then I choreographed some stuff at the Steppenwolf. And I had my own company called the Defiant Theater. We took pride in our stage combat as wrought by Tex Avery.
Yeah.
I thought when you were staging fights, I didn't understand it was choreography. I actually thought you had like a fight club going in the basement of these theaters.
Sometimes it would get that way, depending on how much we employed the bong before curtain.
Sure. Sure.
I miss Chicago.
Well, Nick Offerman, we're delighted to talk to you. We've asked you here to play a game we're calling...
Time to take off the shirt and count the chest hairs.
So you play Ron Swanson, the manliest man on TV. But how manly are you, Nick Offerman? We have decided to test it. We're going to ask you three questions about masculine sports. Answer two of them correctly, and you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice, on their home answering machine. Carl, who is Nick Offerman playing for?
Nick is playing for Christopher and Meredith Levine of Providence, Rhode Island.
All right. You ready to play, Nick?
Oh, boy, I'm ready.
All right, here's your first question. Which of these is an actual sport pursued by men who dare? A, competitive crotch kicking, B, harvest combine demolition derby, or C, flaming tetherball?
Well, depending on the region, the crotch kicking sounds tempting. I'd say, especially if you get into the southern states.
Yeah.
But I'd put my money on flaming tetherball.
Oh, that would be fun. But no, the answer is, in fact, Harvest Combine Demolition Derby.
Holy cow, I'd love to see that.
Oh, we... Well...
Cow, me too!
They have a one in Lind, Washington every year where they get the big combines, just like they do with the cars.
You know what those things cost?
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. Sometimes a real man has to relax, and a real man out there relaxes by doing which of these? A, knocking down trees with their heads, B, punching cheetahs, or C, surfing down volcanoes?
the most relaxing of these sounds like surfing down volcanoes. That sounds perfectly feasible.
And you are right. That's what they do. It's called volcano surfing. What they do is they climb up active volcanoes and they slide down the ash cones, not yet the lava, on plywood boards. It's great fun. All right, so you've got one for two with one to go. And if you get this one, you win for our listener.
The Levines.
An ancient game is reportedly making a comeback in Mexico. It's called Pelota Prepecha. And it's described as being like field hockey with what major difference? A, you play the game against a team of bears. B, the ball is on fire. Or C, all players are required to get a painful body waxing at halftime.
I'm thrilled by these flaming ball sports, so I'm gonna guess the ball's on fire.
You're exactly right. The ball is on fire.
All right.
And you can see a picture of it, and it looks very challenging. Carl, how did Nick Offerman do in our quiz?
Well, Nick had two correct answers, so he wins for Christopher and Meredith Levine.
Well done, Nick. Nick Offerman's new book, it's a memoir and a guide to life, is called Paddle Your Own Canoe. You can, of course, see him as Ron Swanson on Parks and Rec. Nick Offerman, thank you so much for joining us on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye, Nick.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with P.J. O'Rourke, Kerry O'Connor, and Bobcat Goldthwait. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thanks so much. In just a minute, Carl gets kicked out at closing rhyme in our listener limerick challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Kiri, Hallmark has released its Christmas ornaments for this year. They look great. There's even a cute, tiny little sweater ornament with some of the lyrics to the Christmas carol Deck the Halls on it. But they changed the lyrics of the carol to avoid what word?
Gay.
Yes, exactly right. The Hallmark version of Deck the Halls, as printed on the little pictured sweater, goes, "Don, we now are fun apparel."
Oh.
Hallmark says they worried the G word might cause, quote, misinterpretation.
I remember the day I told my dad I was fun.
How did he take it, Bobcat?
He said he loved me anyway.
That's very open-minded of him.
He's a progressive man, my friend.
Yeah,
father.
I appreciate that. You're a lucky man.
My folks are still in denial about that.
Yeah. About you being fun?
I said, I'm fun. They go, no.
Also, Hallmark wasn't sure about fa-la-la-la-la. Sounded a little iffy, so they changed it to grunt sports, 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 sports. A few states took advantage of this and tried to pass fun marriage.
That's never going to work.
No. PJ, churches across the country are facing declines in membership. So now some of them are luring in new worshipers with what?
Golly. It can't be God.
I tried that.
They've
not
tried
working.
That. Yes,
not
exactly.
Working.
Yeah, no. It wasn't working. So it must be like... Were they passing the collection plate backwards?
No.
So you get to take something out as it goes by.
Nacho communion wafers.
Oh, okay.
There is a need to be cool there.
And unlimited communion wine. Yeah. Okay.
Actually, cool. You're almost cool. There, Mr.
Beer.
Beer. They're offering okay. Beer.
Beer. Look. I'm a 66-year-old guy. It's all I can do to sit through Mass as it is. You know, I have a couple of beers first. Forget about it. You know, I'm out of there.
And they pull you over. Where are you coming from?
Church. But I can't remember much about the service officer because I was smoking crack.
So it turns out that churches across the country are holding these introductory meetings in bars, which is convenient as luck. A priest, a minister, and a rabbi just walked in.
You know, often that joke doesn't need a punchline to me.
Really? The priest, rabbi, and minister?
Priest, rabbi, minister walk into a bar, and then someone goes, and then they say, I go, I don't care what they say. If I saw that, I'd be laughing my head off. I wouldn't need a topper.
You know, it occurs to me, and you guys can comment on this, PJ, if this catches on in Catholic churches, it's going to make confession really hard on the priests.
Yeah, it's going to go on and on, you know.
It's like, forget.
Especially you got an Irish parish, you know. And then, Father, the shame of it all.
The priest leads up. Could you freshen these up?
PJ, Facebook already knows who your friends are, what you like, and what you link to, but soon it will also know what?
Golly, I mean, something they might know about me, what I'm thinking.
Yes. Basically everything. They're going to find out everything about you because what they're going to do is they're going to add hover intent tracking. Okay, what does this mean is, like you're sitting in a computer screen, maybe Facebook, and you're looking around in the way that you do with a little cursor, and you see something that's a little tempting. Wow. I would really like to know the top tip for losing belly fat in 10 days. But then you think, oh, I'm never going to click that. People might know. They already know.
I was writing a script that had a lot of guns in it, and I'd spent a lot of time looking at guns online, and eventually, I'm not kidding, ads for Arkansas came up. I'm not kidding.
Just Arkansas.
It said,
come down to Arkansas.
Come visit Arkansas.
Yeah. You know what I get all the time is the "we will publish your book." Are you working on "we will publish your book"?
I get ads for depressants and cheap Viagra. So how sad can I be? I'm depressed. I'm horny, and I'm going to Arkansas.
That I only get Nordstrom.
If I could read your mind, love, what a tale your thoughts could tell. Just like a paperback novel, the kind the drugstore sells.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows right here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our upcoming show in Memphis, Tennessee on December 19th. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Kelly Murray from Napa, California.
Oh, beautiful Napa. And what do you do there? Do you drink wines all day and admire the beauty of your surroundings?
I do that, but I'm also a compliance clerk for the local electric company.
That's not very Napa.
It pays the bills to live in Napa.
I guess. So.
There you go. Okay. Yeah.
Well, welcome to our show, Kelly. Carl Castle is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and two of the limericks will be a big winner. Ready to go?
Ready to go.
Here is your first limerick.
When my circus rolls back into town, the ladies start tracking me down. They cannot refuse my makeup and shoes. The ladies love dating a...
clown?
Yes, indeed. Clown. Imagine how hard it is to find love if every time you approach someone, they run screaming from you. Clowndating.com hopes to make it easier for single clowns.
Well, you know...
You're not supposed to laugh at them now.
But I can't believe a clown would have a problem dating because of the big shoes.
And you know what they say about... you know what they say about men with really enormous shoes?
Yeah. No, what do they say?
That they're probably clowns. It occurs to me, Bobcat, you made a movie about a world in which everyone is a clown.
I made an alcoholic clown movie,
yes.
I ended up on the Today Show debating a clown when the movie came out. It's a true story. And when I showed up, I didn't know that a clown was that was going to happen. And the producer stops me in the hallway and she goes, "A clown's going to debate you on the program." And I go, "Yeah, I know. I've seen your show."
All right. Here is your next limerick.
I'd like to be smart, cool, and witty. But her looks twist my brain. Here's the pity. By myself I'm misled, 'cause she goes to my head. I forget what I've said, 'cause she's...
pretty?
Yes, indeed. Pretty. A new study from Texas Christian University found people suffer momentary memory loss when talking to beautiful people. Right? The way it works is we uglies exaggerate to impress the pretties. And then later, we can't remember what's real and what's made up.
Oh, man, this is like so my excuse now at home.
It is. You're like, why
honey, I forgot the milk and the eggs because you're so pretty. Studies show.
From now on, there's hut and then there's amnesia hut.
Yeah.
All right, very good. Here is your last limerick.
Either knees are rococo and gaudy, or surgeons till now have been shoddy. This lateral ligament's more than a figment. We've found a new part of the...
body.
Yes, very good. This week, scientists in Belgium announced they had discovered a new human body part. We heard this news, like, this is great. Is it going to be like wings? I'd like wings. Or maybe we have a tail. That would be awesomely useful while texting and driving. But no, and what is probably the most disappointing news of the week, it's a little ligament that's part of your knee. It's called the anterolateral ligament, and nobody ever noticed it before. That's all it is. That's right, people. You were just sitting there, and you all just gained weight. There's more of you now. Great. Carl, how did Kelly do?
Kelly, you had three correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your voicemail or home answering machine.
Well done.
Thank you.
It's thrilling to have you. Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer is worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
We have a tie for first place, Peter. Bobcat Goldthwait and Kerry O'Connor both have 3 points. P.J. O'Rourke has 2.
Okay.
Can we just stop now?
Just let it be.
This is my personal best.
It's a good moment for you. No, I'm afraid...
close to my personal best.
Well, PJ, you are in third place, technically, so you're going to go first. Here we go.
Okay.
The clock will start when I begin your first question.
All righty.
Fill in the blank. After the shooting at LAX last week, Attorney General Eric Holder said that he opposes arming blank agents.
TSA.
Right. TSA. Negotiators in Geneva offered Iran relief from sanctions if it agreed to limit some of its blank activities.
Nuke.
Right. After its bio plan failed this week, the CEO of blank was ousted.
Blackbird.
Right. Saying it was in bad taste, officials in the British borough of Ards changed a road sign telling drivers to exit here for blank.
Fun.
No. The sign directed drivers to exit here for the cemetery and recycling center. After shares went on sale to the public for the first time, stock prices for blank shot up on Thursday.
Twitter?
Right. An 80-year-old Russian shepherd was feeling fine this week after he survived blanking.
Fun.
No. The 80-year-old shepherd was feeling fine after he fell off a cliff while fighting a bear. You do
and
not.
And drinking and smoking crack.
You bet.
And running for mayor of Toronto.
You do not get to be 80 years old by dying every time you're attacked by a murderous bear.
No.
The octogenarian shepherd kicked and headbutted the bear, but the bear, being a bear, got the better of him, knocked him off a cliff. It's always great when Grandpa can tell you stories about his old adventures, and they happened yesterday. Carl, how did PJ do in our quiz?
PJ had 4 correct answers for 8 more points. He now has 10 points, and PJ has taken the lead.
Well done. All right.
Well.
We have flipped a coin, and Bobcat's elected to go third. So, Kerry O'Connor, you're up next. Fill in the blank. Both chambers of the Illinois legislature voted on Tuesday to become the 15th state to legalize blank.
Same-sex marriage.
Right. Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius appeared before Congress again this week to answer more questions about blank.
Obamacare.
Yeah, on the website. Forensic experts said this week the tests on the remains of Palestinian leader blank showed results consistent with polonium poisoning.
Arafat.
Right. This week, the culinary world mourned the death of famous Chicago chef blank, who died at the age of 54.
Charlie Trotter.
Right. Having declared it a potential biohazard, Australian officials are inspecting any blank imported into their country.
American food.
Close. Katy Perry album. According, don't ask me why. According to findings by a British Egyptologist, Boy King Blank died in a chariot accident and later spontaneously combusted due to improper mummification.
King Tut.
Yes. A student at NYU was rescued this week after spending 36 hours blanking.
I'm squished between two buildings.
Exactly right. A man who was recently arrested for burglary charges in Spokane, Washington, told police he was just blanking.
He was just twerking.
No. He said he was playing hide-and-seek with security guards. Sheriff's deputies responding to a call at the Kaiser Aluminum at 4 a.m. found two men huddled behind some barrels, but the men explained they were just playing hide-and-seek with the security guards. Police did not believe them, of course, but they couldn't bring them in because, clearly, they were on base. Rules are rules. Carl, how did Kerry do in our quiz?
Kerry had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. She now has 15 points, and Kerry has taken the lead.
So, Carl, how many does Bobcat need to win?
6 to tie, 7 to win outright.
Bobcat, this is for the game. Fill in the blank. A German magazine revealed this week that officials had discovered a stash of 1,400 pieces of blank stolen by the Nazis.
Art.
Right. Because of health risks, on Thursday, the FDA proposed a ban to eliminate all blanks in processed foods.
Shoot, I know this one. Come on, little Bobcat, you can do it. It's the fat, the
kind of fat.
Saturated.
No, trans.
Trans,
fat.
Yeah.
To help mend relations in the Middle East, blank traveled to Jerusalem to meet with Israeli and Palestinian leaders.
Katy Perry.
She would help more than John Kerry. Because of staffing cuts at a hospital in southern Sweden, a substitute janitor's duties were expanded to include blank.
Surgery.
Performing autopsies. He can't hurt him. Facebook announced this week that it is removing the picture of the thumb from its blank buttons.
The thumb from its... Oh, like?
Yes. A British family was forced to leave their home after they accidentally bought bananas infested with deadly blanks.
Tarantulas.
Spiders, close enough. A bridesmaid at a wedding in England was forced to remain outside of the church because she was blank.
Pregnant.
No, because the bridesmaid was a horse. Alex Wells and her bridesmaid, Toffee the Horse, had been together for 13 years, compared with just 5 years that she had known the groom. So when it came time for him to ask for permission to marry Alex, he went to Toffee, which turned out to be a pretty bad idea, since her first reaction was to say, nay.
We saw that coming.
I know.
Yeah.
You
did.
And yet you couldn't get out of the way. Carl, did Bobcat do well enough to win?
He needed at least six to tie, but he had just three correct answers. So with 15 points, Kerry O'Connor is this week's champion.
Well done. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists what Toronto Mayor Rob Ford will do next after he leaves office. But first, let me tell you that support for our Chicago shows is provided by Hyatt Hotels in downtown Chicago. Booking information is at Hyatt.com. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the National Association of Realtors, an advocate for home ownership. More at houselogic.com/homeownership. Pimsleur Language Program, celebrating its 50th anniversary, offering 50 languages and an app to learn them all. More at Pimsleur.com. Lumber Liquidators, hardwood, bamboo, and cork flooring for the home handyman or building professional. More at LumberLiquidators.com. And CarMax, offering more than 35,000 used cars and trucks, online and in stores from coast to coast. Learn more at CarMax.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago, in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, benevolent overlord. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our assistant house manager is Tyler Green. Our intern is Steven Soderberg Tobias. Our CFO is Ann Nian. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Lester Larchick and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Waltrover, Miles Dernboss, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Our production coordinator is Robert Approbation Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. And the executive producer is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Mike Drinking Down on the Danforth. Now, panel, what will Toronto Mayor Rob Ford do next? PJ O'Rourke.
Peter, he will run for higher office.
Well-suited he will be. Kerry O'Connor.
He's going to become an actor and he's going to star in Drunken Stupor, the Boris Yeltsin story.
And Bobcat Goldthwait.
Host a, like, funniest home videos kind of show with crack-smoking mayors. Like Marion Barry and himself. Those smoke crack, and then you're going to play Yakety Sax under it.
And if Rob Ford does any of that panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to PJ O'Rourke, Kerry O'Connor, and Bob Goldthwait. Thanks all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll see you next week. This is NPR.